Governor Scott Walker said yesterday to reporters it's imperative that lawmakers vote on a plan to close the state's troubled youth prison. But other legislative leaders are not so sure that the bipartisan proposal introduced earlier this week is truly on the fast track. We'll comb through this assembly plan on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. WPR's State Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson is here to bring us up to speed. Sean, welcome back.
Hi, Kate.
Well, there's this public hearing scheduled for 9 this morning at the Capitol on the Assembly's youth prison plan. Help us remind us again what the crux of this proposal is.
The crux of this proposal is that it would close the troubled Lincoln Hills youth prison by July of 2020. And it would take a lot of the juvenile inmates that are there now and send them to regional care centers that are operated by counties instead of having them all under the umbrella of a single state-run institution. There would be some of those juveniles that go to other state-run institutions, and they'd be juveniles that were convicted of the most serious offenses, so violent offenses, and also, you know, inmates there who had shown a history of behavior problems could go to some of these state-run institutions where there's more security. But I think the biggest change in what Assembly lawmakers are calling for in this is taking all these inmates that are in one institution now and spreading them out around the state and giving counties more of a role in their supervision.
Yeah, so we're hearing from this plan more local control. What is the thinking behind that and this decentralized approach?
The decentralized approach is something that advocates have been talking about for years. And I guess having a smaller, it's obviously a much different situation, but it's like having a smaller classroom in a way. There's less potential for trouble. Walker's plan that he introduced earlier this year would have had a decentralized approach. He would have had, I think, 5 new state-run institutions created to handle the inmates that are at Lincoln Hills now. This is following along those lines, but it's bringing counties on board instead. The thought being that counties are able to do some of this and able to do it cost-effectively.
So it's pretty similar, what's in the assembly here, to what Governor Walker was calling for last month, which was similar to what Democratic State Representative Evan Goyke proposed earlier. Under this plan, regional prisons would be run by the counties, but there's a lot of movement of dollars here and trying to trace who's paying for what. It sounds like it can get complicated.
Yeah, so counties would have to apply to run these regional institutions. And there's not going to be one of these in every county. We don't know how many there would be. The thought is there might be like a half dozen potentially, and that counties would join together in their applications to the state for these grants to help them run these institutions. These grants would pay for almost all of the costs. But there would be a preference at the state level to award the money to counties that are using existing facilities first. So there would be a prioritization of cost savings in this. And I think the other thought is it lets counties kind of do what makes sense for them. So a lot of the juveniles who are at Lincoln Hills right now come from Milwaukee County. And, they're going to an institution that is very far away. This would let Milwaukee County potentially put them in an institution closer to their home communities, closer to their families, where they'd have more of that family and community support. And it would let Milwaukee County decide what's the best way for us to do that cost effectively.
Does this plan also look at making Mendota a larger institution for mental health, or what would happen at Mendota?
Yeah, so the Mendota mental health treatment would be expanded, or would have been expanded under the governor's plan.
Mm-hmm.
Backers of this plan say that's their intention here as well, that they see that playing more of a role. So there would be state dollars, you know, going there, and with the aim of not just incarcerating, you know, troubled youth who need attention, but to give them that attention to you know, put out into the community in a better position.
And you're breaking up a little bit here. We're going to reset here. Sean Johnson, WPR's State Capitol Bureau Chief, bringing us up to speed on an assembly proposal that is what lawmakers say in the assembly on the fast track that would close Lincoln Hills, the juvenile detention facility there, by July 2020. We're breaking down the proposal right now. You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. What else would you like to see done with regard to Wisconsin's juvenile correction system? How do you feel about the Assembly's youth prisons plan, especially if you have a loved one at Lincoln Hills? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. So, Sean, there seems to be sentiment in the Senate that this plan may not go through as swimmingly. And there's some skepticism, it seems, that they don't want to rush it through because they don't want to repeat past problems. Are you hearing that?
I would say right now, most of the skepticism, if not all the skepticism you're hearing, come from Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald, who is, you know, the spokesman for his caucus. And so I don't know what other lawmakers there have concerns with this, but Fitzgerald said from day one after it was introduced, this is going to be a heavy lift, was the term that he used, to do all this before the end of session, and they want to finish session, the Senate does, in March. Fitzgerald plans to have one more full Senate session day in February, one more full Senate session day in March, and then he wants to be done for the year. So he's saying there's a lot going on here, and I'm not sure that you can get it done before that March deadline, and know that we did it right, as opposed to just doing something to get something done. And that's when you really heard the governor push back and say, hang on a second, I really actually do want to do this.
So is there anybody saying this regional approach is a bad idea, or is everybody pretty much on board, on the same page?
So even that, I mean, Fitzgerald is saying, I like that in theory. I like the regional approach. One of the concerns that he has raised a couple times is that he wants to make sure that all the county sheriffs are on board with this plan, because these facilities will be, you know, some of them will be in their counties, and the sheriffs are going to want to know what's going on there. So, and you have to remember, Scott Fitzgerald's dad was a county sheriff. So that's kind of where he's coming from on this. And the governor has said, I want to make sure that all the counties are on board. So he's saying not just the handful of counties where these facilities might be located, because we don't know those, where those would be just yet. But he's saying, I want to make sure all 72 counties are on board with that. So I don't know if we're going to get a better idea of whether counties are indeed there at the public hearing today, but I think that's one of those outstanding questions.
Yes. Do we know or have any indication what might happen today at the public hearing?
It's, you know, it's the chance for the public to weigh in on this. So if it's like public hearings often go, you'll hear sponsors of the bill testify for a long time and take questions from their colleagues for a long time. And, you know, there are groups that have been very critical of the state's handling of juvenile inmates and have sued the state over its handling of juvenile inmates at Lincoln Hills. I don't know that they would testify today, but this would be their chance to do that. The ACLU of Wisconsin is one of those groups, and they've said their concern is that they don't want the state to just take what it's doing now at Lincoln Hill and replicate it at a bunch of regional centers around the state.
As we wrap up here, assuming the bill would pass the legislature this session and assuming it is signed into law by Governor Walker, what happens next?
What happens next is you have some juvenile corrections study commissions get formed, one of those actually, and they have some responsibilities immediately to come up with best practices for how you take care of juvenile inmates, to come up with a suggested list of where these facilities should be. And deadlines start playing out for that pretty quickly in 2019, and it all leads up to July 1st, 2020 date when Lincoln Hills, as we know it now, would be no more.
Sean, thanks for taking the time.
You're welcome.
Sean Johnson is WPR's State Capitol Bureau Chief. You can follow him on Twitter at SJohnsonWPR. You can tweet us about the proposal to close Lincoln Hills at WPR Mornings. How do you feel about the Assembly's Youth Prisons plan, especially if you have a loved one at Lincoln Hills? Join in the conversation, 800-642-1234. We'll be back with the co-authors of the bill right after this news update. And would close the Lincoln Hills School for Boys and Copper Lake School for Girls north of Wausau by July 2020 and transfer many of the inmates to smaller regional facilities run by county governments, perhaps. A public hearing is set for this morning before the State Assembly Committee. We're unpacking the plan here on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. State Representative Joel Clayfish joins us now. He is a Republican from Oconomowoc. Representative Clayfish, welcome to the program.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
And his colleague, State Representative David Bowen, is here as well. Apparently in a noisy car, he's a Democratic state representative from Milwaukee. Representative Bowen, welcome to you.
How you doing? Thank you so much. And sorry for the noise in the background on my way to Madison.
All right. Well, we'll work through it and stay safe there. These are both members of the Assembly Corrections Committee, co-authored the Assembly's Regional Youth Prison Bill. And it's not every day we talk to Republican and Democratic lawmakers at the same time, particularly as co-sponsors of a major piece of legislation like this. We'll get to the meat of the bill in a moment, but Representative Clayfish, what do you have to say about the bipartisan nature of this proposal?
First of all, juvenile justice and public safety crosses all party lines. And I think I'm very excited and proud about the fact that no one involved in this project has said this is a Republican issue or a Democrat issue. And frankly, we have not tried to use this to gain political points. It's extremely important to me, and I know it's important to David, to make sure the public's safe. At the same time, there are kids who commit crimes, and in some cases, serious crimes, where we're not ready to throw away the key. And that's what this bill is about, taking those serious juvenile offenders and making sure that society is safe from them. But for those lesser crimes, making sure we have an opportunity to get them to be productive members of society.
Representative Bowen, how does it feel to you to have your colleagues work across the aisle, or does this happen more often than we think?
Well, I think on this issue in particular, a lot of folks around the state and our communities have seen images and stories that don't sound pleasant, that don't sound like we are doing the best job that we can for our young people and for our staff, and for Representative Clayfish to have a lending ear that makes sure that we're taking in the fact that the secure residential care centers that have been on the statute for quite some time, they need to be back an option for our judges to be able to place our young people in secure residential treatment. So I'm glad we're at the place that we're at now, and I think it's something that sometimes behind the scenes you can't tell if these things actually are happening, but it does happen, and I'm glad it happened on this issue because there's a lot at stake. We have the lives of young people that we need to get back on the right track, and we need to use the best practices, the best evidence-based practices to do that, and this is our chance to transform the system.
Representative Clayfish, before we get into this bill, why can't the current juvenile model with Lincoln Hills be remedied? Why can't it be fixed? Why do we need a whole new plan?
Well, first of all, as a member of the Joint Finance Committee, when we closed the Wales School for Boys, I fought that all the way. I think I was the only Republican who fought the closing on the Finance Committee. of the school that was down here. If you want to have an opportunity to rehabilitate and get some of those kids back into society as productive members, they have to be surrounded by the resources. In many cases, that's family or people who care about them. Unfortunately, and what I saw coming back then, is that if we put all of the serious juvenile offenders far up north, they'd be far away from resources. Part of the main focus of this bill is to get the resources that are needed for those kids who are not potentially forever lost. And that's what we're looking to do. For those children that we're not ready to throw away the key on, they have to be near the resources, which is why regional facilities from the areas where they were convicted will have the best opportunity to do that. But I don't want to lessen the reality that there are some very serious offenders who society must be kept safe from, and that this plan also takes that into consideration. And working across the aisle, you know, is something that happens much more than people realize. The vast majority of my bills are co-authored by Democrats. It doesn't mean we're going to agree on everything or going to agree on everything about juvenile justice reform. What it means is that there are people who are willing to put policy ahead of politics and what's best for the citizens of this state above their next political move.
Let's bring in Jenna to the conversation. She joins us from Lake Mills. Hi, Jenna.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for addressing this. And I would like to thank Representative Clayfish for his leadership and foresight many years ago when this was addressed. He was right. Wales should not have been closed. We've been at this issue for over 20 years of juvenile justice reform. And we had a corrections secretary, the one previous to the one currently serving. And he brought forward recommendations on this very issue regarding Lincoln Hills. I wondered if these two representatives had ever sat down and heard about these recommendations and why they think Governor Walker's administration ignored them, set them aside, and then fired this corrections secretary or forced him to resign. I'm not sure what happened, but it seems like he was trying to lead the way in solving a very serious issue at Lincoln Hills. And when we look at school shootings like this, we're missing so many signs, I think, because of politics. We're not investing resources on the front end when these kids are still in their homes or in foster homes or in their own community before it elevates to a crisis situation.
Jenna, thank you for your comments, your call. Representative Bowen, would you like to unpack what Jenna is saying there?
Yeah, I think, and that was the crux of the situation. You know, we're 6 years from when a judge noted to the administration that there were problems in our juvenile justice facility in Irma, Wisconsin. And I think we as lawmakers and policymakers weren't in on the transformation to make sure that we were at the forefront of pushing transformative change in our system before this. A lot of these decisions were made by the administration, and I know it's tough for, you know, depending on what side of the aisle that you're on, to try to get into the weeds of trying to change things if you don't want to step on toes and if you don't want to ruffle feathers. But at the same time, we also know the impact that can happen when we implement the evidence-based practices that are not being used. And we currently have a system, especially in juvenile justice, that is not using all of those answers. And we'd like to be partners, even with the governor's administration, to make sure that we're implementing this change that's desperately needed. And prevention is very key. We have to invest the dollars and the resources necessary, the collaboration necessary, to create those prevention efforts that we know that will save the lives of these young people and also put them in a way better position than just criminalizing them. So I'm glad that we're in the place that we're now because the conversations to implement that change have been further than they've ever been before.
Let's bring in John in Green Bay to the conversation, and John has some observations. Go ahead.
Fantastic show. I was a youth counselor at Ethan Allen School, Wales, from 1993 through 1998, and helped a lot of kids. And these are some dangerous juveniles. Anyway, I was just so amazed that Wales, if you want to call it that, I call it Ethan Allen School, was shut down. It was an amazing facility, really well run. Now, you know, in the last 20, 25 years, you know, shoving everybody up north of Wausau is just absolutely ridiculous because, you know, Milwaukee, Racine, Madison, Janesville is where you are going to get your youthful offenders. It just for visiting family, just for lawyers to come, even detectives. It is just crazy to shove everybody up north. Representative Clayfish, fantastic job.
John, thank you so much for the comments. And let's get Representative Clayfish here to touch a little bit about the decentralization and why perhaps giving counties more local control.
First of all, it's about putting together a plan that has resources nearby. I mean, the last caller was very, very correct. There are some very dangerous people who are being housed in these juvenile facilities. We can't overlook that. That's why we're making a two-pronged approach here and spreading things out. If you have resources available, and many times the difference between a child changing the course of their life is a support system, whether that is family or the ability to have that person rehabbed. And you touched earlier on the mental health aspect of it. We are finally looking. You know, people forget very often, we're human beings in this job. We aren't always right. We do what we believe is best at the time, and the beauty of the legislative process is that it can change over time. What we have done is realize the importance of the mental health aspect of it, which is going to be much more part of this when the counties are able to have an influx of their resources. So what the counties will do in our plan is have much more say as to how the children who are convicted in their counties work. And counties can work together on this plan. The state is supporting the infrastructure for the building of new facilities, and we expect the cost per student or per inmate to go down. Because when you have resources right at hand, you don't have to deliver them far away, like your previous caller was saying. I think that that is going to make the difference in those kids who are able to be rehabilitated and change their lives and start anew. You have to give them those tools. At the same time, you have to make sure society is safe. That's why we have two types of facilities that we're proposing under this bill.
We're talking right now with Republican State Representative Joel Clayfish and Democratic State Representative David Bowen about an assembly plan that is underway in the assembly, some calling it on the fast track, that would bring sweeping changes to Lincoln Hill School for Boys and Copper Lake School for Girls in Irma, closing the facility by July 2020. You can weigh in and also give your assessment of Lincoln Hill's 800-642-1234. Are regional facilities around the state better than one main prison? And who should run those facilities, the state or counties? What else would you like to see done with regard to Wisconsin's juvenile correction system? Join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Senator Bowen, Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald said he likes the bill but isn't sure there's enough time in this session to get it passed through the legislature. In fact, he called it a heavy lift, said he doesn't want to rush it. We're also detecting some trepidation out there as to not repeat past mistakes in a new prison model setup, especially in light of lawsuits and an FBI probe. What do you say in response to your colleagues in the Senate?
But I would hope that they recognize the fact that this plan is not rushing per se the changes. What we are doing is we are fast-tracking the process for those things to happen so we can bring together the stakeholders, the folks that are in the system, the folks that are working with young people, the advocates, the judges, the DA's public defender. We are bringing them together as a statewide coalition, and we are going to redesign the system. Unfortunately, without this legislation, there are several things that will continue to plague our system as it stands right now. We would not have secure residential care centers for children and youth, those SRCCCYs, where it is a newly designed local alternative for young people that, for the majority of young people at Lincoln Hills, they are not those violent offenders. They are those young people that we can transform their behavior in a different environment and separate away from the young people that have more maybe extreme or more violent cases. So we first don't have that luxury to that degree right now, and that's what's plaguing our system. We also don't have the rehabilitation and the connection with their home support systems as we need. So right now our recidivism rate is in the dumps because the support system that we need to have built up is currently suffering because those young people are so far away from their families, from their social workers, from their advocates, and there really is no cohesive connection back home. They're coming back to our community less prepared, even more broken than when they went in, and we have a chance to transform the system. Without this legislation, we will be stuck, and I want my colleagues in the Senate to definitely understand we have an elaborate process to continue to give much oversight and insight with the counties, with different people at the table. But if we don't do this, if we allow our session to close over the next 2 weeks and not provide a direction for the changes at Lincoln Hills to provide a due date of when it's closing, when we're transforming, when we're bringing people to the table, we will continue the status quo. And we cannot allow that because we're spending $140,000 a day for the worst outcomes that we could ever get.
Representative Clayfish, I'm going to step on you there, David Bowen, for a moment. Representative Clayfish, what would you say to quell fears about this legislation? We've also heard from your colleague, Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald in the Senate, that wanting to get sheriffs on board with this plan.
Well, I would say this. First of all, this is not a new plan. This is a culmination of plans that have been in the works for years. Representative Bowen and I have been working on this plan for more than a year to divvy up where the children are going and have more resources available to those who want and should end up back in society as productive members. Many different bills, Representative Goyke's, Representative Schraa's ideas, Representative Bowen's, Crowley's, Senator Taylor's ideas are all part of the cumulative bill that we have here. You know, Senator Scott Fitzgerald is a fantastic leader, but he also has foresight when he says this is a heavy lift, because any massive transformation or reform of the way that something in government is done is a heavy lift. There's no question about it. So to say it's a heavy lift is not inaccurate, but to say it's a lift that's feasible and should come at this time is also something we'll have to work on. Senator Fitzgerald has got to make sure, you know, he needs the votes in his chamber to do that. And the input from Senator Wongard and Senator Taylor have been fantastic, and they have got their fingerprints on what we're doing, too. As far as the sheriffs go, everyone wants to make sure that they're able to do their jobs. The last thing we want is another failure similar to Lincoln Hills.
State Representative Joel Clayfish, we know you have to leave us now. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Go to the committee hearing. Yeah, my pleasure. Take care. Thanks for covering this topic.
And State Representative David Bowen, you are staying with us. Lawmakers have until mid-March to pass a number of sweeping changes to Lincoln Hills. You can weigh in at 800-642-1234. We'll return after a news update. Assembly lawmakers are moving forward with a bipartisan proposal to close Lincoln Hills by July 2020 and move inmates to regional facilities around the state. We're getting details with the lawmakers who co-authored the assembly proposal on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The plan's path through the state Senate is perhaps less unclear, but the assembly Corrections Committee and the Senate Committee on Judiciary and Public Safety will co-host a public hearing this morning at 9 on the Assembly's plan, and the Assembly Committee will vote on it as well. Wisconsin State Representative David Bowen is a Democrat from Milwaukee who stays with us. We're getting your insights on Lincoln Hills. They're welcome. And we have full phone lines. Let's go straight to them with Patrick, who is waiting in Richland County. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, good morning. Good show. Say, I'd like to ask your guest how much a very starting guard right now up at the juvenile prison system up north, this very starting pay wage for a beginning guard, how much is that? How much do they pay it?
Representative Bowen, do we know about the wages that corrections officers are making?
I believe the new starting pay is around $13, $14 an hour. And it's just one of the big issues that we have right now is that we also have to professionalize and invest in the workforce in our juvenile system. And we currently have some staffers working 16-hour shifts. And they're getting burnt out because they're also working overtime as well, forced overtime, because of the low numbers that we have in our staffing. The department and administration has continued to struggle in applying the amount of staff needed, especially at a very far away facility where it's been hard for them to recruit staff necessary. So that's also been putting the pressure for us to make sure that we're transforming the system and that we're not only providing good jobs, but we're professionalizing the system and not burning our employees out, because right now they're very frustrated.
Patrick, do you have a follow-up question or comment?
Well, if the leadership is serious about dealing with our juveniles, you got to pay decent. This business about saying, oh, there's so many jobs that are unfilled, people won't, you know, we don't have enough people. If you pay enough, they will. And this is a shame, $13 an hour for people that are going to go in and deal day-to-day with our juveniles. I mean, come on, that's not taking it seriously. But thank you so much.
Patrick, thanks for your call. The observation, Madeline in Oneida now. Madeline, hi.
Hello. I would like to say that my feeling is that people cannot call themselves a Christian if they do not care for these children. And I feel like, you know, I understand it would take time to set up these regional centers, but they could work with that right now up there. They could hire people who are educated and to understand that when children have been emotionally abused in one way or another, that it changes their whole body chemistry, and it makes them become violent. They develop fight or flight.
Mm-hmm.
In their body.
Madeline, what I think you're getting at here is it doesn't take just breaking apart a large prison, that some reforms could be happening at Lincoln Hills right now. Is that what you're trying to get at?
Yes. Well,
and let's get David Bowen, Representative Bowen, to respond.
Yeah, I think Madeline makes a really good point. One, that was one of our concerns when we had a state regional approach to the governor's answers on Lincoln Hills, and we wanted to come to the governor and say, look, it's a lot more that we can do to change the operation and the process that we're using if we really want to change young people's behaviors. And that needs to have a process of dignity, a process that actually works with communities and their support systems to get them back on the right track. And it's something that we're really lacking right now. And the stability that we're lacking in the facility, a lot of that is fueled from the frustrations from young people and staff alike with a model that does not work. You know, when you have reports of young people not getting access to the amount of schooling necessary that they need, the amount of medical treatment, mental health treatment that they need, even to follow the rules of the Prison Elimination, Rape Elimination Act, the PREA Act, from the federal government, we weren't in line with that. We didn't have proper staffing in place to make sure that we prevented things like that. So there are so many changes that we need to implement. And what we did was we said, let's transform this whole system. Let's create, again, those secure residential care centers for youth and children, because it's important that we not just rely on one environment or one type of environment to get young people to change their behaviors. We can take a step-down approach to get young people back in their communities locally,
right,
and to have mentors and so many things that support from the community. So
Yeah, Representative Bowen, we're getting comments and observations around the state. We're going to Audrey now, who joins us from Eau Claire. Hi, Audrey.
Hey, guys. I know we're getting towards the end of the hour, so I'll try and be quick with my story. I had a family member recently stay at the Winnebago facility, and they give the people staying at that facility earbuds because the third shift guards working at night are so loud and rowdy. And I'm wondering if that's the case statewide, where inmates or patients are being given earbuds to try and get a good night's sleep instead of changing the process at the prison where guards aren't allowed to be that loud in the first place. I don't know how we can expect anyone's mental health to improve when they're not getting a good night's sleep in the first place. Thank you.
Representative Bowen, noise pollution at Lincoln Hills, at these facilities.
I think it's important to recognize, you know, we're talking about human beings. We're talking about creating an environment where the fact that they've been separated from society is the punishment. And I think for a long time as a society, we've been focused on trying to punish people beyond that. And we really have to recognize the fact that if we want people to change their behavior, we have to treat them with dignity. We have to still have an environment that actually will be healthy for them and help them come back to our communities even better. So I'm glad she mentioned that, because we do need staff that are willing to professionalize this system so that we're providing the best care and treatment possible, not just throwing people into a room and making sure that we treat them horribly. The dignity that our young people need so that they can be the best citizens that they can be. And we have to recognize that there are adverse childhood experiences and, the amount of trauma that they have endured before committing the acts that got them incarcerated.
Let's go to... we have so many calls here, and I want to get another one in here. Let's go to Jermit in Westfield. Jermit, hi.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was a teacher in Milwaukee in the 1960s when Wales Boys School was close by, and I had a student who came from Wales. It was easy for me to work with the Wales staff, and as a result of working together with the Wales staff, we were able to work with this boy, and he eventually became a very successful citizen here in the state of Wisconsin. So I think it's really important to have regional facilities where resources are close by, where there can be improved communication between the schools, families, as well as the institution.
Jermit, thank you so much for that. And Jermit found areas where, reforming and being able to turn into productive citizens, that it can happen. Representative?
Absolutely. And I have a perfect example. There's a young man by the name of Marcus Williams. He was formerly incarcerated at Lincoln Hills, and he now is a UW system student in college. And Marcus represents the change that we're trying to implement for a majority of our young people, for the vast majority that impact and come in touch with our system. We have to make sure that all young people can get a chance back at life. And we cannot give up hope on those young people. If you might have seen them in a news report, if you might have heard of something happening, there's a reason they may have acted out at that point in their lives, but that does not mean that they should be defined that way for the rest of their lives. And young people like Marcus are the ones that give me hope, because right now our recidivism rate is beyond 60%, meaning that young people are people in general, not only are they going in the system, but they're coming back. And our way to reduce that and to make sure that the dollars that we are going to put into the system, if they're going to work, we need to make sure that they are coming back to our communities better, and that we are not leaving them in a situation where we're just setting them up for failure. And I truly believe that's where we are right now, and this bill can transform that so that we can work with communities to build up those support systems. Our young people need support systems very desperately, and it's up to us to make sure that we do it.
We have time very quickly to squeeze in Adam, who's waiting in Lake Geneva. Adam, go ahead very quickly.
Hi, I think touching on that, setting them up for failure, in my experience working in the correctional system, part of that came into play with, you know, sending them, the offenders, back to the families that sometimes have, you know, incredibly negative households. So my question is there any talk about putting additional supports in for the families of the offenders?
Go ahead, Representative Bowen, as we close out here the hour.
No worries. I think that's a definitely fair point. A vast majority of the families that have young people in our system, they may have some struggles and issues, and that's why it's important that we create holistic family-wide approaches to supporting young people and their families as well. I think that is the approach that we can take.
Right now, they're
kind of cut out of the process. So I think we add them back in. Thank you so much for having me on.
Representative Bowen, thank you so much for making time with us as you are on the move. Democratic State Representative David Bowen is from Milwaukee. Earlier, we spoke with Republican State Representative Joel Clayfish from Oconomowoc. They're members of the Assembly Corrections Committee, and they co-authored the Assembly's Regional Youth Prison Bill. WPR's Sean Johnson joined us at the top of the hour. This hour was produced by Bill Martins and Keely Boltina. Dean Kennetter provided technical direction. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This conversation is on the Ideas Network.